This is the evening of the Bible study of Ephesians 1 with the wand, and it's about 6:56. We'll be starting at 7 o'clock Central. So I'm going to go over and see if I can connect to the wand. We're using a little bit different format than we do on Skype. Just see if we can go over and access that. About 3 minutes before the call starts. I'm going to cut off the video so we can focus on the Bible study rather than on the video. So I'm going to cut that off. Good evening.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. It's we've got it's about 6:57. I've already started the recorder. I was just checking to make sure the volume was good and we were getting a good record back, so everything's good.
Sounds
just want to take a minute, and Dwan is going to be working with me on a study in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to have to get my glasses, but anyway, I knew a gentleman, his name was Richard Burnett, and he was a Catholic priest for 22 years, and he was gloriously saved. And I interviewed him. Walter Stickle and I interviewed him. He's on my sermon audio broadcast, and he shared with us that the two chapters that God used to bring him out of Catholicism was the first and second chapter of Ephesians. He said he read it over and over and over again, and God used that in a marvelous way. So I am always excited to study the book of Ephesians again. I'm going to have Dwan do the first five verses. We're going to switch back and forth. Each of us do a five verses and then comment. And I think tonight we'll just plan on doing the first chapter, if that's okay with you, Dwan.
Yeah, sounds good, Larry.
So I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, should we pray?
Yes.
Father, bless this evening, tonight. Thank you for letting us assemble here over the internet. We pray that your word will be glorified tonight, and just yours and nobody else's. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So let's start with the Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So these are the first five verses of the book of Ephesians. So, clearly, these first five verses are one of those verses. When I first read them, I asked my wife what she thought about it, because I've never read a Bible before several years ago. And I like what it says, but I did not understand, because it was the first time I actually saw that God is choosing his own people. And I found there quite an interest in that, trying to understand these verses. Like, I always liked them, but it just took me a while to read and learn what it actually all meant. So we can clearly here see that Paul is talking to the saints, and he's trying to tell them that the God the Father has chosen them before the foundation of the world, and with all the spiritual blessings. So not carnal blessings on the earth, but blessings in heavenly places. So all the Christians, all the elect people of God, they are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, which actually means what it actually says. So we don't need to expect the blessings to be rich and wealthy down on earth, but to sit and rest in Christ. He's also saying that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. What that means is that he has not chosen us while we are running around the world, or while we are doing something to please him, or just before we were born, but actually before he created the heaven and the earth. So that was as clear as it says. So I don't find it a trouble to believe at all. It is a simple statement, and it just makes sense to me that we should be holy and without a blame before him in love. So, as he says in Romans, that we are going to be and sanctified and glorified what do you think, Larry? You got any other comments on that?
Yeah, that's some really good points you make there. And I think the Apostle Paul has kind of a pattern in his writings. You know, oftentimes he'll use the same vernacular. For an example, in verse 1, where he says, by the will of God, you'll see that. He'll use that term over and over and over as he starts in different books, by the will of God. And also notice where the grace and the peace are from in verse 2. They're from the God and our Father.
From the God the Father.
Yeah.
And from the Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then also,
it says in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. So it tells you clearly it is not something that you have done. Nothing according to anything else apart from the Father's will.
That's right.
It's an easy-to-understand statement for people.
Yeah, he also, in verse 6, he continues on to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, that's irresistible grace. That's what that is.
Yes.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, so many other passages refer to these passages. Like, for an example, I'll just cite a couple in Galatians. Galatians 1:3, it sounds almost like the same vernacular. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost the very same vernacular used in the second verse there. And then also, in the fourth verse, if we look at 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's used in Ephesians 1:4.
Also John 1:13, which it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
So it tells you that, people elect were born of God, not by your choice, not by anything you have done.
That's right.
It's a very, again, clear statement there.
That's right. And then he also says, in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, back to his will, not the will of man, you know, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So, you know, Paul is very conclusive here about this, and he, you know, we see the same kind of ideas that are demonstrated in Romans 8:28, which is very, very well-known passage, but he says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And then the second part is the most important. It says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So I'll turn it back over to Duan now for beginning with verse 11, and any comments you want to make.
There's also James 1:18, when he says, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yes.
So again, of his own will.
Yes.
And Philippians 2:13 says, for this God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you will something, it is God that works in you. So when you do become a believer, it is because God worked in you to will.
Amen.
Philippians 2:13. So, 11, in whom we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of purchased possession, unto the praise of God's glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So again, there's a confirmation of predestination in verse 11, where God the Father works after the counsel of his own will. And also in the prior verse, Ephesians 1:10, at the dispensation of the fullness of times, so it means at the end of all things, when it's the end of time, he will gather all things which are in Christ, which are both in heaven and which are on earth. My understanding is that that includes all the elect angels and all the elect people. And he will gather them all at the end of the dispensation of the fullness of times. And in number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. So we are there for his glory. My understanding is that we are all his people. We are created for his own glory, and we only ought to give glory to him, not to ourselves at anything. And it also says, after we have heard that word of truth and believed, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But Paul says that we need to hear the word to believe it, and we need a preacher, and preacher needs to be sent. So how are you going to believe something which you have not heard of? And Paul is saying that after he has preached this truth to them, they have believed. And immediately they were sealed with that Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So this is talking about that we are the purchased possession that Lord bought on the cross. He took that book of life on the cross, and he was the only one who can open that book, as shown in the book of Revelation. And on the cross, when he was crucified, he completed the purchasing of ours and redeeming us from our sins and from death, and so to his glory. Do you have any comments, Larry?
No, I think you handled that really well. I think that in the 12th verse, there's a really good companion verse, which I love this verse, is in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And so, also the next verse says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this shows all of the action on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had no part in any of it. We didn't have any hand in our salvation. It was a free gift of God.
No. And also, there's another one in Acts 13:48, which talks about the ones who are ordained. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Amen.
So only the ones who were ordained to eternal life believed. That's a very clear scripture there. And I've got also a couple of other scriptures talking about the previous verses of adoption, where it's talking about that us becoming adopted sons of God. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God has adopted us as sons, so we can be fellow heirs with Jesus. And Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. And then continues on at 8:30, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So that's that chain of salvation there.
Absolutely.
The goal. It's all done. It's a done work. There is nothing else to do for us. It's a completed work by Lord Jesus. And all for us to rest and to give him a glory. There is no more work for us. There's no labor anymore. We need to rest.
And he says also, you know, as he continues on, he says, you know, he asks the question, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 33, he asks the question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Yes.
So this theme of adoption is something that's really, really speaks to me, because I worked as a social worker with adopted children, and oftentimes they would come up for adoption, and then the parents at the last minute would decide not to go through with the adoption. And it just shattered these children. And I've often said, you know, I'm glad that God doesn't unadopt his children. Once he adopts them, it's an eternal adoption. And I absolutely love the scripture that says in verse 5 that he's predestinated us into adoption, because if I'm adopted into his family, and then there's also the theme of the inheritance throughout scripture, you know?
Yes.
Peter talks about an inheritance reserved in heaven for you, which are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last times. So anyway, you know, he talks about that his faith in verse 15, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's like Duan was saying earlier, there's no way that a dead person, a spiritually dead person, a person that's dead in their trespasses and sin, can raise themselves to life. You know, there has to be a quickening power of the Holy Spirit to give them the revelation and knowledge of Christ. And then he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, there's that inheritance again, in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. There's that word, that same word, usward, is used in 2 Peter 3:9, where he says that he's not willing that any should perish to usward, because he's speaking to the beloved there. Usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So I'm going to let you finish out there with the next few verses. But this verse 19 is a powerful, you know, he talks about his exceeding greatness. Okay.
Yes.
In other words, when I see that exceeding greatness, in other words, without any limitation is his greatness.
Yes, it is all about glory to God. Like he says in John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So this is saying, when Lord Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. He was seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, as we know from Paul's writing, there are visible and invisible things in this world and in heaven. There are principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, which are all orders of angelic orders. And they are the wicked ones and they are the good ones. So, we fight this spiritual battle against them, against the wicked ones. And they're all ranked in these orders, which there are other books which describe how they are set up. But Lord Jesus is above all of those. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he is running all things. He's ruling all things. Whatever happens in this world, he's in charge. There is nothing that happens on this earth and in heaven which he has not ordained. Like in Book of Matthew, when he says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" So he tells you that he feeds the birds as well. And another one, Matthew 10:30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore you are more valued than many sparrows." And also, Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." So Lord is in control of all things. There is nothing that he's not in a control by sitting on the right hand of his Father, and far above all the principalities, powers, minds, and dominions. And like verse 122 confirms that and says, "I have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." So all the demons and the devil, they are all under his feet. They may do a wreck here on this world, but they are all doing according to his will, to fulfill God's will. Devil is not equal to the Lord. He is his servant to fulfill his will. And Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Larry, do you have any comments?
Yeah, it's a beautiful description of the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful God, who's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he tells us in the first chapter of Colossians, he restates what he's, you know, states there. He says in verse 16, "For by him," I'm reading in Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." I remember the first time I saw that, invisible. You know,
yes.
He created all things that are invisible. That includes, you know, things that we can't even see under a microscope, or things that we cannot even see out in the sky.
In the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Remember Elijah and Elisha?
Yeah.
When he opened his eyes and he saw all the army on the hill?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he couldn't see them before, and he said there is more of them than of, there's more of us than of them.
That's right. I remember when we used to travel in the car to church, we used to sing that song.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've heard it or not. There's more with us than be with him. There's more with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. The banners unfurl. We'll tell the whole world that Jesus is captain and guide. There's none to fear when he is near, though fierce the conflict may be. We'll never give in the fight against sin. With Christ there is victory. Now the second verse says, there's more with us than be with him. Lord, open our eyes to see. The mountains around with chariots abound. We're trusting alone in thee. The devil may boast and marshal his host and fight in the battle array. But with Christ in the lead, we're sure to succeed. He's already won the day. Okay. So anyway, but that's really, yeah, that's what you're pointing to. And I remember one time when I was struggling with God being sovereign over evil. Gentlemen gave me this particular verse saying, you know, he's, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities, like you were saying, principalities are, you know, I like the fact that, Satan is God's devil. Okay. That he's in charge. Satan cannot do anything without God.
Well, you read Job. I mean, so Job, and he asks for permission.
That's right.
To do things to, Job, and everything is permitted. That's you know, everything has to be, everything is ordained by the Lord. And devils and devil, they all have to get a permission to do whatever they are to do down here.
Amen.
And I do really believe that. I do believe, you know, I do not believe that they are running around and nothing is left to chance. I mean, he tells you, he feeds sparrows, and the birds, and not a sparrow falls down on the ground without the Father. I mean, everything is in control. There is nothing that is not in control. I mean, you could have made your mind around it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and then he kind of concludes that with saying all things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things.
Mm-hmm.
By him all things consist, you know, and so that's just what you said, you know. I mean, in other words, there's no accidents with God.
Otherwise he's not a sovereign God.
Yeah, I don't even subscribe to the word accident. You know, everything is foreordained by God. You
know? Yes. Everything. I mean, even whatever is happening in any dispensation or in any time of the world, you know.
Right. I've heard this and I agree with this. When it says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, that doesn't mean necessarily that all things are good. It means that all things work together for good. I mean, in other words, there's a song out, you know, God is good all the time. No, he is not. God is not good all the time. God shows his wrath upon his enemies. Okay?
He does.
And he shows his judgment and his justice. So, you know.
And chastisement as well.
Yes.
Like
for
if
his,
you are
his, for his people, yes. Yeah.
Yes. So this is what Hebrews says. Hebrews 12:7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth you as its sons.
Right.
For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then you are bastards and not
That's
sons.
Right.
Like why I always say, rich people, for example, they're just successful and, you know, create all these globalist things and, you know, run places and they have no worries at their table because they are not chastised, you know, they're let alone to run and fulfill their iniquities, you know, until their time is cup of iniquity is fulfilled.
That's right. You know, I heard a minister one time make a statement that the reprobate aren't lost because if they're lost, they can be found. Okay? And so, in other words, they were ordained to this condemnation. They were vessels of wrath fitted for destruction.
Exactly.
Whereas those of us who are, you know, we were once, you know, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so thankful. Now, the great thing is that he was slain from the foundation of the world.
But check this, Jude 1:4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Yes.
Before of old. So that's before everything. You know, ungodly men, denying the grace of our God and to last graciousness, and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, these people, like, everything is ordained already.
That's right.
Like, there is nothing that's not ordained. You know, the elect and the ungodly as well.
That's right. You know, and I really like that the passage you're referring to, because, you know, the book of Jude is, it encompasses all of the acronym TULIP. It shows total depravity. It shows unconditional election. It shows limited atonement. It shows irresistible grace. And what I really like is that the last two verses of Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
Exactly. So that's it. Him that is able to keep you from falling, because you're not able to keep yourself
that's
from falling.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, think about it. If you were to watch for everything, anything, and you're trying to do something right, I mean, the devil's got and demons tricks everywhere. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able, I mean, they're full of tricks, pulling rabbits out of heads everywhere.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, man, you will not survive like one day trying to keep yourself from falling.
Amen.
I mean, you got to be making.
And the other thing we have to accentuate is that God's perfect atonement can never fail or falter. His blood is in other words, a lot of people want to present the atonement as being a potential for salvation for people. No, it's actual for all for whom he died for.
Well, I guess the natural man does not understand things of the spirit.
Right.
You know, so you either understand it or you don't understand it. You have been given the knowledge or you haven't.
Yeah, and the purpose of Christ, the incarnation and Christ coming to this earth and dying on a cruel and rugged cross and raising from the dead and ascending back to heaven is very clear. It says that he came to save his people from their sins.
His people from their sins. Exactly. So he's always had his people before this world was created. Before the earth was first, you know, created and, you know, firmament put above it. You know, like,
it's good that, you know, we as Christians can fellowship around these things, and we can get such comfort in knowing the promises that God has given us in his word. You know, when he says, all that the Father hath given me will come to me, you know?
Yep, and no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
Yes, and
I will raise him up at the last day. So
yeah.
No man can come to me. You cannot come.
Right, and he also says, no man can pluck him out of my hand, or no man can pluck him
exactly.
out of my Father's hand. So
then that leads also to fear. But
yes.
Why would you have fear of anything in this
That's
world?
Right.
Nothing.
That's
I mean,
right.
No man can pluck you out.
That's
I
right.
mean, That's Second right. Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
Right.
And Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
That's right. And, you know, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Exactly. So, you know, if you are elect, there is nothing that can take you out of it. I mean, they can, you know, put stuff on the news and put stuff here and there and try to, you know, put all these doctrines out there to confuse you. But if you are elect, there is nothing that they can do. Nothing. Absolutely. They can kill your body, but they can't take your soul away.
Right, I'm sure glad he put that disclaimer in there. If it were possible, even
yes.
The elect would be saved.
Exactly.
It's not possible.
not possible.
And again, you know, if you go back to Ephesians, we are given all the blessings in spiritual realm.
Yeah.
But not necessarily in carnal realm, you know.
Right.
Some people might be, you know, better off than the others, you know,
right,
according to whatever, you know, what do you have that you have not received?
That's,
you know,
right.
We all have received something, but what have you received? You know, we have received from the above, you know, mm-hmm, everything what we have received from the above. You know, so some people more, some people less, you know, according to the God's will.
That's right. You know? That's right. Well, Dewan, I really enjoyed tonight, and we made it through the first chapter of Ephesians, and I think that's, you know, just one chapter, you know, because I don't want to overload people. I want them to be able to come I don't want to have to feel like we're rushed.
Yes.
And I want to go through each verse and just spend as much time as we need to. So I'm looking forward to this study. I really enjoyed this tonight, and I look forward to next week as we delve into chapter 2. And, yeah, we finished a little early tonight. We're not rigid on, we don't have to go a full hour. We've gone about 42 minutes so far, but I'm going to just turn it back over to you, and if you have any final thoughts or other scriptures you would like to, or any other thing you'd like to discuss that encompasses this study tonight, feel free to take all the time you need.
Yeah, I think Ephesians is a very nice book. I really like it. It was one of the first books I've actually ever read in the Bible. About 4 years ago, I think, when I first opened my Bible.
Well, you know, the good Lord has really given you not only a receptivity to His Word, but He's given you a gift of recollection of other scriptures and also proper application. And so I'm thankful that He's brought us together, because, you know, it's an encouragement to me, you know. So
thanks, Larry. I agree. I do have the Lord has given me to recollect certain words in the scriptures. So I can, and I'm not sure if you ever heard of the software called Eastward.
I'm not sure.
It's a free Bible software, and it's a very powerful software which I use. And you can, like, if you say recall a word, and you can put it in there, you can really.
I think
bring
I have
of
heard
scriptures.
Of Eastward. I use a lot the an online, because the online, the King James Version online. The reason I like it is because it has the word search, and you can also it has the audio portion you can listen to.
Oh, okay.
That's good too. Yeah. So, well, listen, brother. Thank you for tonight, and tell your lovely wife thanks for sharing you. I know this is your time off work. You could be doing family things, but this is really.
Oh, that's okay. It's good. I'll enjoy it.
It's a blessing.
I'm looking forward to next your Tuesday.
All right, and you have a blessed evening.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
You too, Larry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.